Hello, my name is Paul Kent, and I'm an author and vice chairman of the P.G. Wodehouse Society, UK. On the 50th anniversary of the great man's death, I'm proud to record this podcast celebrating the work of the greatest comic writer of the 20th century, perhaps of all time. I arrived at P.G. Wodehouse, age 12, in about 1972, when an English teacher at my school had noticed that once again I had failed to do my homework and had not read the assignment, which was usually reading a work of fiction. I didn't really like fiction. It was boring and it was made up, and I'd much rather spend my time reading an encyclopedia or with my nose in the Guinness Book of Records. So he put me in punishment, which involved turning up at 5 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon and staying for an hour in a classroom and doing some kind of menial work like lines or whatever. On this occasion, he chose to make me read a book, and he pulled a book down from the shelf. It was an orange-spined penguin edition of The Inimitable Jeeves. I can see it now because I've got one. And he said, right, I'm going to stand over you while you read this, and by the end of an hour, I reckon you're going to love it. Anyway, cut the story short. About 2 minutes in or two pages in, I said, you can go home now because I love this and I ain't moving till I've finished it. And I didn't. And, well, Plum has been my constant companion ever since. So the book I'm going to read from is a passage from Right Ho, Jeeves, which I'm viciously abridging this just to get it into time, because it's a very long scene and it takes about 20 minutes to read if you do it at full length. So I've taken the liberty of actually shortening it, which is criminal, I know, but hopefully you'll forgive me for that and Wodehouse will forgive me. It's the famous scene in which a blind drunk Gussie Finknottle awards the prizes at the Market Snodsbury School prize giving. Written in 1934, it's widely regarded, not least by me, as one of Plum's funniest scenes. It opens with the bearded headmaster introducing Gussie to an expectant audience. Today we are all happy to welcome as our guest Mr. Fitzwattle. Finknottle. I should say Finknottle. Of course you should, you silly ass. Okay, get on with it. We are all happy, as I say, to welcome as the guest of the afternoon Mr. Finknottle, who has kindly consented to award the prizes. I am sure that Mr. Finknottle's name is one that is familiar to us all. Not to you. You didn't seem to know it so dashed well, what? Right-ho, let's push on. Ladies and gentlemen and boys, we have all listened with interest to the remarks of our friend here, who forgot to shave this morning. I don't know his name, but then he didn't know mine. Fitzwattle, I mean, absolutely absurd. And we're all sorry that the Reverend, whatever he was called, should be dying of adenoids. But after all, here today, gone tomorrow, and all flesh is as grass and whatnot. But that wasn't what I wanted to say. What I wanted to say was this, and I say it confidently, without fear of contradiction. I say, in short, I'm happy to be here on this auspicious occasion. I take much pleasure in kindly awarding the prizes consisting of the handsome books on that table. As Shakespeare says, there are sermons in books, stones in the running brooks, or rather the other way around. And there you have it, in a nutshell. Gentlemen, I mean ladies and gentlemen, and of course boys, what a beautiful world this is. A beautiful world, full of happiness on every side. People who say it isn't a beautiful world don't know what they're talking about. Driving here in the car today to award the kind prizes, I was reluctantly compelled to tick off old Tom Travers on this very point. He's sitting right there in the second row next to the large lady in beige. I ticked him off properly, poor fish. He expressed the opinion the world was a deplorable state. I said, don't talk rot, old Tom Travers. I'm not accustomed to talk rot, he said. Then for a beginner, I said, you do it dashed well. I think you'll admit, boys and ladies and gentlemen, that was telling him. If there's one thing in the world I can't stand, it's a pessimist. Be optimists, boys. Why, hello, Bertie. I didn't know you were here. Now, there is an instance of what I mean, boys. And ladies and gentlemen, take a good look at that object standing up there at the back. Bertie Wooster, that is, and as foul a pessimist as ever bit a tiger. When I told him I was going to address you, he said my trousers would split up the back. Perhaps, as time is getting on, Mr. Ficknottle, we had better... the prizes, eh? Of course, yes, righto, yes. Might as well be shoving along with it. What's this one? Spelling and dictation, P.K. Purvis. Forward, P.K. Purvis. You P.K. Purvis?
Sir, yes, sir.
It's a beautiful world. P.K. Purvis.
Sir, yes, sir.
Ah, you've noticed it, have you? Good. You married by any chance?
Sir, no, sir.
Get married, P.K. Purvis. It's the end of life. Well, here's your book. Looks rather bilge to me, but such as it is, here you are. Hello. Who are you?
This is R.V. Smethurst.
What's he doing here?
You're presenting him with the drawing prize, Mr. Ficknottle.
Well, here it is, Cocky. Off you go.
Sir, yes, sir.
Scripture knowledge, G.G. Simmons. Well, G.G. Simmons. So you've won the scripture knowledge prize, have you?
Sir, yes, sir.
Yes, you look just the sort of little tick who would. How are we to know that this will be open above board? Let me test you, G.G. Simmons. What was... what's his name? The chap who begat... thingamy. Can you answer me that, Simmons?
Sir, no, sir.
Fishy. Very fishy. This boy appears to be totally lacking in scripture knowledge. I can assure you, Mr. Ficknottle, that every care was taken to ensure a correct marking. Well, if you say so. All right, G.G. Simmons, take your prize.
Sir, thank you, sir.
Well, boys, this is the end of the summer term, and many of you, no doubt, are leaving the school, and I don't blame you. You are going out into the great world, and what I want to impress upon you is that however much you may suffer from adenoids, you must all use every effort to prevent yourself becoming pessimists and talking rot like old Tom Travers, there in the second row, the fellow with a face like a walnut. And now, I should like you boys to give three cheers for this beautiful world. All together now, hip hip. And there's Gussie. But we must leave him, unfortunately. Now, as to Woodhouse's legacy, well, cheering people up is no bad thing to be remembered for. And as the narrator of Plum's novel Something Fresh observes, the gift of humour is twice blessed, both by him that gives and him that receives. As we grow older, he writes, and realise more clearly the limitations of human happiness, we come to see that the only real and abiding pleasure in life is to give pleasure to other people. And here comes that sentiment again in another Blanding's novel, Summer Lightning. Happiness, as solid thinkers have often pointed out, comes from giving pleasure to others. Now, Woodhouse dedicated almost 75 years of his professional life to doing just that, arguably better, and certainly with greater application than any other writer before or since, which is not a bad epitaph at all. Now, before I go, I'd just like to give you news of an event coming up on May the 9th this year at the British Library in London, where there's a wonderful day out to be had at something called P.G. Woodhouse, The Man, the Musicals and the Manuscripts. It's a day of talks and music from a host of Woodhouse experts and performers, and you can also get up close and personal with treasures from the British Library's Woodhouse collection and some unique personal effects from the family, including his hat. Tickets are available online. Just Google Eventbrite,
B-R-I-T-E, Eventbrite and Woodhouse, and you'll be taken straight there. Very much hope we'll see you there, and really hope you enjoyed and have enjoyed this little podcast. Bye-bye.